эфире «Арсенал» подкаст Ивана Меркурьева.
Good afternoon. Today we have a podcast after Swansea game, and I will discuss this game and the Black Scarf March with English writer and Gunnar, Kevin Witcher. Kevin, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Kevin, let's talk first on football side, okay? So, what was happened yesterday when Arsenal lost to Swansea at home? In my view, there is a significant point in modern history, and it means that Arsenal is definitely not more a top club, and Arsenal team is mediocre team, and the position now, which is ninth, is the position which Arsenal deserved at the moment. And I don't think that Arsenal can be considered like a favorite in Champions League position race. What is your opinion? Is this game is very significant or not? Or it's like a small game and nothing more?
Well, I got a text during the first half, actually, of the game, which asked, is this a watershed? And I responded, no, it's just another Saturday, because I think in reality we've been seeing these kind of performances several times this season, and I think we will see more. And I think the watershed as such, you know, the moment which is a turning point will be when the crowd inside the stadium starts a mass chant against the manager. So that has not happened yet. And in my view is that when that happens, that will be the moment when perhaps and hopefully change will be forced, and it will be recognised that the direction of the team has to be reversed, and can only be reversed by changes that the board seem very reluctant to make. So I would say yesterday was just another poor performance, and but more of these, and that moment when the crowd turn against Arsene Wenger will come. There were certainly individual people shouting out against the manager yesterday, but it did not create a groundswell of opinion. People are almost afraid to, en masse, give Arsene Wenger a hard time. It's something that they don't want to do.
Why?
Because they are very loyal, and because they've got so used to the man, it's like almost they feel like he's a member of the family. You know, you can't just get rid of them, you know, even though you might dislike a lot of things about your relatives. At the end of the day, they're still your relatives. And that's the kind of feeling that I feel many Arsenal supporters have developed towards Arsene Wenger, simply because of the amount of time he's been at the club and the amount of good times that initially he gave them. And they can't actually realise that it's time to move on, and it doesn't matter about his feelings. More important is the future of the football club. But it's almost like they've been brainwashed. I don't understand it fully, because I think it's obvious that change is required.
So in my view, I don't need to worry about manager, about budget, about wages, if my team is playing well. If my team is not playing well, I'm starting worrying. I think it's a usual way for each supporter, for normal supporter, that my goal is to see my team playing well, winning matches, maybe winning titles. If it doesn't happen, I'm starting to worry. Why Arsenal supporters are not starting to worry now?
Well, I'd like to think they are. And it's how the problem is addressed, which I think is the real issue. Because the inertia at the club indicates that the problem will be allowed to continue and decline further. Because the problem is quite obviously the manager. The way the team has performed over the last 5-6 seasons cannot be down to just the players, because the manager is selecting the players, the manager is organising the players, the manager is supposedly motivating the players. So ultimately, the buck stops with him in terms of the failure to challenge for trophies. So the supporters, while worrying about how the team is performing, have got to look at the reasons why and actually realise that change is required and effectively force the manager to be changed by certainly chanting for his dismissal and making his life a misery, because either then he will have enough personally and he will not want to remain, or the board will be forced into action because of the bad publicity. So change has to be forced, and at the present you can only imagine that that change can be forced by the supporters. So it's really for every Arsenal supporter to look inside themselves and realise the problem is the manager. And then we can try and move on.
But listen, yesterday there was a black scarf match, and I saw a video with the leader of this movement, and he said straight that this is not Wenger out match, and they don't want people to use this slogan during this match, and they don't think that the problem is a manager. It's a movement, it's not one person. And if a group of supporters, yes, okay, they don't understand that this is a manager, this is not a board, because in my view, there is no real board in Arsenal Football Club. And there is Kroenke, who wants Arsene Wenger to run the club. That's it. This is the board. So, what do you think? They don't understand, or they don't want to bother Arsene Wenger, or why? Why they don't understand?
Well, at this stage, what I think it is that they do not want to dissuade people from protesting, because there are still many who believe in Arsene Wenger and back Arsene Wenger, and they are fools, okay, but there are still many, many of them.
How much, what do you think, in percentage, amongst the English gunners, I mean?
Right, I think if you went round the crowd at the stadium, you would find approximately 50% of people would prefer Arsene Wenger to remain as manager.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, 50% would be very happy to see another manager. So the other thing is, as I have mentioned, the fear of change. You know, there are some people who probably, if they think about it properly, realise that change is required, but they are so enamoured with Arsene Wenger that they don't want things to turn ugly. So they're not prepared to protest against him personally. So the Black Scarf movement wanted everyone who was disaffected with the direction of the club to join their march. And for that reason, they wanted the focus to be on the board, okay, even if it's just a puppet board. That they wanted fans to just get together and be united on one thing they felt everyone could agree with, which is the direction of the club. However, one of the four main stated aims of the march was the poor use of the money that is spent by the club, specifically on buying poor players and overpaying poor players too much in wages. And this is actually a decision made by Arsene Wenger. So even though it was not an anti-Arsene Wenger march, one of the four main aims is directly his responsibility. So without realising it, the Black Scarf March was also a march against Wenger, even if it wasn't stated as such, mm-hmm. because Wenger is so key to some other decision-making processes. So it's a matter for everyone to realise Wenger is equally culpable as the board for the way the club has gone. And although we can't change the board, we can certainly force the board to change the manager.
Okay. Do you think it was a success? I mean, much.
I do, because it had over 1,000 people. It was very vocal, very loud. It got quite a bit of publicity.
You know, what kind of publicity? Sky Sports?
Reported in the press and on television in this country. And it's bad publicity for Arsenal Football Club, which can only be a good thing, because things are bad and needs highlighting. The direction of the club is not good, and so more protest is required.
And who will organise these protests?
Well, at the moment, the Black Scarf March are leading it. What it really requires, I think, is for the other supporters' organisations to come together. But this Wenger problem is the real issue, because if the Black Scarf March, Black Scarf movement won't make Wenger part of their focus of protest, then it's going to be very difficult for the other organisations to...
Which one?
Well, there are, I think, three other main organisations, which is the Arsenal Supporters Trust, mm-hmm. Acer, and Red Action, which all have different areas of concern, but ultimately, you know, if they could all combine as one voice, it would probably help to combine supporters as well. But the problem is, this Wenger issue is just holding back protests for change, and it's a taboo that needs to be broken. The crowd need to start chanting against the manager in the stadium. Now, it's happened at away matches. It needs to happen at home matches.
So, Kevin, let's imagine that there are protests on the ground against manager. So what will happen next, in your view? What could happen next? How many options there are on the table?
Well, the option is very simple. You firstly, I mean, the great thing at the moment is that the manager has not renewed his existing deal, which expires in 2014. So there is still some breathing space. If that deal is extended, it will be a very black day for the future of the club. However, if this decline we're witnessing continues, there is a little hope that perhaps the board may be in agreement with the manager. Who knows?
Mutual consent, you mean?
Yes, maybe way to go, because then he could leave with his head held high. You know, as high as it can be at the moment. And just, we can all move on. So, in a way, if this season does finish as badly as it looks like it might, perhaps then we could say, okay, you've got a year left on your contract, we can pay you off. Certainly the club can afford to pay him off, get someone in next summer.
But tell me, who can save it? Who exactly? Who is the name of this person who can say it to Arsene Wenger? Ivan, what it is?
Ultimately, Kroenke is being advised by Ivan Gazidis, and if Ivan Gazidis, you know, is aware that the amount of negative publicity is damaging the brand of Arsenal, because is what Arsenal is now to these people. It's a brand.
But this is what's going on now.
It is, and hopefully, because you know, the voices of protest will grow louder, they will be forced into action. So then Gazidis will have to say to Kroenke, strategically, on a business level, I think it's advisable we change our manager. And especially if they do drop out of the Champions League qualification, maybe even, I mean, Europa League is nothing financially. It's not of interest to the club. Although, significantly, if they're not even in the Europa League, they won't have as many matches next season, which means they're losing revenue because of match day income.
They will lose revenue anyway on Europa League, as Manchester United did.
Of course. But it's even worse if they're not in the Europa League, because every time there is a match, it's on the season ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting money even if people don't turn up. So what you'll see is if they are in Europa League, you'll still have the attendance figure as, let's say, 50,000, and there'll probably be 25,000 people in the stadium. But the club are still getting money for 45,000 seats of season ticket holders, whether they turn up or not. But if they're out of Europa League, they don't even have those match days to make that money. So at that stage, it's really hurting business.
So, Kevin, tell me, you were at last game with Swansea, yes?
Yes.
Did the people shout Wenger out or not? Did the people boo the manager after the game or not? What has happened on the ground? How many people left before the end of the game on the stadium? How many thousand?
Well, I think certainly there were there's booing of the whole performance, as well as the manager, at the end of both the first half and the end of the second half. In terms of Wenger out, there were individual people calling,
mm-hmm.
but there was no chant as such. There was one supporter who threw his season ticket down near the dugout. It was retrieved by a steward who attempted to give it back. And then the supporter threw it back again, saying, "I don't want it." But there was no mass chanting. In terms of the numbers, I would say that the actual crowd, in terms of physical attendance, was probably around about 55,000.
At the beginning of the game.
Beginning of the game. And I think when Swansea went 1-0 up, there was an exodus of about 10,000 people. And then when it was 2-0, I'd say about an extra 20,000 people left. So at the end of the game, I think there were about 25,000 people in the stadium. So a mass exodus, but the game was over at 2-0. I mean, there was no point in waiting for an extra 2 minutes, so people just started making their way out. And it sent a clear message that people weren't happy. You know, there was no disguising the displeasure at the performance. I just don't understand really why. Maybe there wasn't time for a Wenger out chant to really begin. But the other thing is that the section where the chants tend to begin, which is the red section,
mm-hmm.
still a lot of Wenger loyalists in there. So it's, you know, it's still this thing about people, you know, needing to realise the problem and actually have the courage to just ignore their emotional attachment to the manager and start making things ugly. Because the only way change will happen is if things get ugly. Otherwise, it's all very comfortable for the club.
So, generally speaking, if Arsenal will not reach Champions League this season, after the season, it would be better for the future of the club?
If it can force change, yes. If you're going to tell me that we're still going to get Arsene Wenger for another 4 years. You know, we still support the team. We want the team to do well. I mean, if you could guarantee me that Arsene Wenger would be sacked at the end of a season, I would happily accept a finish in any position from 5th to 17th.
I would accept 20th also.
Right. Well, that's really bad medicine, but, you know, maybe that's what needs to happen. I suspect if Arsene Wenger said himself at the AGM this year, if we finish 15th, I will not be here.
But his words means nothing.
Well,
nothing.
I think
he lies easily.
He lies easily, but he's made a public statement.
And so what?
Foolish.
He made a lot of public statements. A lot.
Yes, but this is one you can pin him down on and he can't argue with. If I finish 15th, I will not be here next season.
I don't believe.
Well,
he will be next season. If he will be relegated, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, but 15th, definitely. Mm. We will read these stories about new team, new young players, blah, blah. Mm. So, okay, let's go to the team. What is your opinion on this story that the new contract they try to sign with a wage reduction if Arsenal will not reach Champions League? So they will cut the wages for the people. What do you think on it?
Well, it shows that they're well aware that the team is less likely to be consistent Champions League qualifiers, and that on that basis they can't afford to pay the players the wages they are at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually indicative of a lot of other cost cutting where wages are concerned at lower levels. This is non-playing staff. You know, they're really cutting employee costs to the bone where you're talking about ordinary administration staff, match day staff. It's a ruthless approach the club are taking. Ironically, though, the people who are at the top are paying themselves a tremendous amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So although they're making some savings, the real savings could be made if they paid the players, the manager and the directors a bit less. But, you know, now this policy looks to have been extended to the playing staff because they're actually linking financial reward to performance, which in my book is fair enough. You shouldn't be paying people a lot of money for failure. Now, what it may influence is obviously the quality of player they can bring in, because in other clubs aren't doing this. You know, Manchester City aren't going to put those clauses in. You know, Chelsea and Manchester United, Real Madrid and Barcelona, you know, the top clubs, the ones that Arsenal are trying to match, are not going to take this policy. But having said that, we haven't been signing star players for a long time. So really, what difference does it make? You know, I want to see hunger. I mean, in my book, the ideal situation would be that you pay your players per point gained in the league. So if they lose, you don't pay them anything. However, you're not going to sign any player in this day and age on that basis. So, I mean, in a way, I welcome the approach, but it would be nice if the club were ambitious enough to think we are going to make sure we're in the Champions League by signing good enough players anyway, so we don't need these clauses. But, you know, it's reality. You know, the club isn't what it was. So I can understand their approach. And if it does make the players more angry, all the better.
Mm-hmm. Did you heard about Huntelaar, that Arsenal are interested in Huntelaar in January?
Yes.
This rumor. So, okay, let's think about Huntelaar. Will he sign this kind of contract? And what for?
The only reason he would sign this kind of contract is because he is very hungry to come to Arsenal.
Why?
Well, apparently he stated that he would like to sign for the club. Now, I'm not sure where that's come from, but that's what I've been told, especially now that Van Persie's left. So,
what for? Why he needed it?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. But, I mean, okay. It's good if he comes, because you will get goals from him. He
definitely.
So, I mean, my suspicion is that perhaps the clauses for a player of that type may not make a massive difference to their wages. So you might be talking about 10,000 a week on top. So, you know, he signs a deal for 100,000 a week. And if they're in Champions League, he gets 110,000 a week.
But in this case, it's useless procedure. You save nothing.
Well, yeah, but you get the player. So, you know, that's the main thing. You know, you do need that player. So, I don't know. I suspect this thing about the clauses is not going to be significant across the board. I think the general approach will actually be to lower the wages overall anyway. And I suspect that may happen more with what we'd call squad players. So that perhaps the model in which Arsenal operates will change. It will be less egalitarian across the spread of the wages from the top to the lowest paid performer. And you might find that in the future we have five or six very well paid players and the rest who are some way below. And that's what needs to happen, because that's the way you can afford the star players.
Mm-hmm. This I agree with you, but I don't see it. Until Arsene Wenger is in our club.
Well,
don't see it.
You may be right.
Okay, what do you feel for Swansea?
I think Swansea are a very good team who have been managed and organised in a very effective way by Michael Laudrup. And I think it demonstrates what can be achieved with good coaching, with a manager who gets his players on board, gets his players hungry, and motivates them, organises them, and significantly gets them playing in a style that is reminiscent of the way Arsenal used to play, which is going forward with pace, clinical passing, just very tidy. They gave Arsenal a football lesson at their own style yesterday and easily deserved their win. Could have won by perhaps another two or three goals, but for the performance of Szczesny. And it was a salient lesson in Arsenal's decline that, you know, a team that cost next to nothing was able to give them such a lesson on their own turf. And, you know, things like the scouting of a player like Michu, you have to ask yourself what is happening at Arsenal for them not to pick up this kind of player.
You know the price for Michu?
2 million.
2 million, and he scored 15 goals.
Frankly, it's a disgrace that Arsenal did not pick this guy up.
Okay. What is your prediction for January transfer window? First of all, which position will Arsenal get on Christmas, in your view?
The league position of Arsenal at Christmas, I think maybe. I mean, they have some relatively easy fixtures.
Which one?
Well,
Name me one, please. Easy fixtures for current Arsenal team.
Well, okay, I take your point. There's no
West Brom at home?
Wigan away. They should win that. They should be West Brom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's got to be a reaction. Who else are they playing away before Christmas? Who is it? Is it Reading? Reading away. Come on. They've got to win that. I mean, if they don't win those, really, then maybe the voices of protest will get louder at the home game.
Okay, which position Arsenal will hold?
Well, it does appear that they're going to buy Huntelaar if they can, and the other one.
Which position to Christmas? To Christmas.
Oh, the league position. I'm going to say seventh.
Seventh. Okay, this I agree. Okay, and being in the seventh position, what will be the transfer policy in January, in your view?
Well, it would be wrong. The transfer policy would buy. Well, they're going to only buy two players. You know, they're probably only going to buy Huntelaar. Yeah. Probably only going to buy Pepe Reina.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, those two positions they do need to buy, but they also need to buy in midfield, certainly, and I would argue in defence as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need a couple of good defenders, one fullback at least, one centre back. You need a defensive midfielder. You also need a creative midfielder. Because what's happened is, in terms of the squad, some players who are good enough have simply been overplayed. They've run out of steam. They need a break. The options to replace them aren't good enough. So they just, it's just the manager just keeps playing the same players. Cazorla is just finished at the moment. You know, he's been lent on too much and he's lost everything that he had. So we need creativity in the midfield. We need about six new players, and maybe seven. But we're going to buy two, so it's not good enough.
How many players Arsenal will buy exactly? What, in your view, will buy? Let's imagine today is 1st of February. How many players did we buy in January?
Two.
I think zero.
Okay.
And Henry, Thierry Henry.
Well,
renting, yes, for the rent. So I don't see other story because do you remember when in January, which year, we've got good signings? I remember the January 09 when we bought Osharin, and that's it.
I think previously it was January 2006.
Maybe, but yeah. Last 5 years only Arshavin in January.
Yeah.
What is happening with Arshavin? He is leaving the club in January for free, no?
Quite possibly. I mean, I think his contract actually ends in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But if the manager isn't going to use him, there's no point in paying him wages. And it's one of the great frustrations that we were crying out for Arshavin yesterday, and he wasn't even on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So it's madness. I mean, the whole Arshavin story is a classic example of how the manager has just got it so wrong. And what a waste. What a complete waste.
I totally agree with you. So Arshavin could help yesterday, could help last year.
Mm.
But as far as I understand, this is a team of favorites.
Yes.
And if Arshavin is not in favor, that's it. He will not play.
Well, Arshavin's personality is too strong for the manager. I mean, Arshavin has his own opinions. And if something isn't right, he'll say so. And the manager just won't tolerate that. He is a dictator. So anyone who doesn't fall in line gets punished. So that's the story with Arshavin. Whether he leaves in January or not, it isn't irrelevant because he's going to be used so little. Why is the manager going to change now? Dreadful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kieran, tell me, please. If you both know that only defeats will force the change. Can we wish for defeats? Is it possible for the supporter to wish for defeats?
It's difficult, but ultimately, in a way, I thought it, in a way, it was good Swansea won yesterday because Arsenal played so poorly. To get a point out of that game would have almost taken the heat off. You know, I mean, sometimes you're not going to move forward unless you go through pain. And in terms of addiction, which, you know, some people are addicted to the idea of Wenger as the manager of Arsenal. It's like we have to hit rock bottom, as a drug user does, and realise how bad things are before they are willing to change their ways. So in a way, if more defeats mean that we hit rock bottom, then maybe we need to wish for that state to come, because something has to make the change. And it's hard to wish for a defeat, but even watching matches now, when the team aren't performing well, I find I don't care that much. I've stopped caring about the team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, some people just walk away. They just don't renew their season ticket. They stop going. And, you know, that's their way of dealing with it. Other people want to continue to support the team, and they continue to go on match days. And you know, we all celebrate when Arsenal win, but at the same time, it's every win is perpetuating the current system, which has been shown not to work. So it's hard to wish for defeats, but if you could guarantee change through defeats, I'll take them.
Okay, Kieran, thank you very much for joining us, and we will discuss the story maybe at the end of the season.
Okay, you're more than welcome.